Okay, fine. Let the record reflect. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Let the record reflect that I was here 11:45 promptly. Okay.
You're on time.
I was on time. Anyway. Anyway, before I forget, next Matzai Shabbos, I have a family event in New Rochelle, but I have a special Hanukkah gift for you. I don't have the queens here next Sunday morning. You could have next Sunday morning anytime you want.
You want 10 o'clock?
Oh, that would be good.
You want 10 o'clock next Sunday?
No, not 10. Because I go to your son's shirt.
Rose is a big
chair. I go to your son's
shirt. All right, whatever. You can think about it. Okay. So next Sunday, anytime you want. Okay?
Well, wait a minute. So let's do now the vote.
I'd
rather keep it at the time we have now. Yeah, me too. What about you, Susan? Oh, I can't commit, so let everybody
else decide. That's not the kitchen table. Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. What do we decide?
Maybe
Elisheva
to send an email.
When Elisheva, there's so many things going on today. There's a pick a hole thing.
Right.
And then there was another Orion's sister-in-law had died. So there's so many things going on today.
What happened?
No, she gets a shear and Hanukkah
okay.
Or something. So people are late. So when I talk to Elisheva, she'll call.
Fine. Okay, lastly, I want to dedicate the shiur to the Refuah Shlema of Rabbi Kelmer, Yehuda ben Rivka Leah. Fine. Without further ado, we're going to discuss the connection between Hanukkah and Shabbos. We know one of the three things that the Greeks legislated against, Rosh Chodesh, they legislated against Shabbos and against Bris Milah. To the Queen's group, I spoke about the hang-up they had with Rosh Chodesh. To you guys, we'll speak about the hang-up that they had with Shabbos. You know, why they legislated against Shabbos in particular. It's very, very interesting that there is a very intricate connection between Hanukkah and Shabbos. Right, in the sense, we'll point out a few things, that as we're the first of the holidays is Shabbos. It's as old as creation itself, and it was also commanded to us in Mara, very first holiday. Hanukkah is the very last holiday, And interesting, we're going to show that it goes sort of full circle. Where are the laws of Hanukkah? Where do you find it in the Gemara? No, you do. Gemara. In the Talmud, you know where you find the laws of Hanukkah? Masechet Shabbos. Right? Masechet Shabbos is, there is no Maseches Hanukkah. The laws of Hanukkah are in Masechet Shabbos. And you know where? In the most obvious place. In the second chapter, which is all the halachas of Shabbos candles. Interestingly enough, Shabbos candles. Now, here's a very interesting thing. The Rambam ended off the laws of Hanukkah anticlimactic. He first tells, the Hanukkah, Ner Hanukkah, because it publicizes the miracle of God. Therefore, if you have only enough money, you have only enough cash, either for wine for Kiddush or for your Hanukkah candles, you buy the Hanukkah candles. You don't make Kiddush on wine that week, right? Because the importance of Persumei Nisa. So important, Persumei Nisa, Rambam says, the halacha, you have to even sell the shirt on your back to have money for Hanukkah candles, because Persumei Nisa is so important. But you know where it all ends off? Just one. It ends off anticlimactic. There is something more important than Hanukkah candles, Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles are more important that because of Shalom Beiso, because you're not going to have Shalom Bias if you're there with your family in the dark. So Shabbos candles. That's the final halacha of Hanukkah candles ends off with the halacha of Shabbos candles. The supremacy of Shabbos candles is how Hilchos Hanukkah end off. because Shabbos candles is for Shalom Bayis, and that's the whole, the Rambam ends off, that's the whole tachlis of Torah. Torah came, lehavi shalom le'olam. That's the whole purpose of Torah. Shenemar derecheha darchei noam v'chol nesivo seh shalom. And those are the last words of Hilchos Chanukah. That Shabbos candles, you know, are Trump, ner Chanukah. That wasn't a political statement, right? And derecheha darchei noam v'chol nesivo seh shalom. It's an amazing thing. It's trying to, you know, why was it set up that way, what the Rambam is alluding to, putting that halacha as the seal, you know, on the Hilchos Chanukah. Now, something very interesting to note is Chanukah is very unique in the sense that everything that the Yevonim legislated against, you know, gets representation naturally during the days of Chanukah. Because it's 8 days long, you always have a Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Teves is always one of the days of Hanukkah. And the very fact that it's 8 days in itself alludes to Bris Milah, like we find in Chazal Tos, all the eights in the Torah are all alluded, you know, all allude to Bris Milah. The very fact that the bracha of Rifa'enu is the eighth bracha of the Shemona Esrei is a remis to Bris Milah. Because that's the whole reason why there's refuah in the world. The reason why God brought refuah to the world is so the kid could heal from bris milah. It's a gemara. It's an amazing thing that all the eights you ever find all allude to. Milah is the eight factor, so the very fact that Chanukah is 8 days. So it's something very interesting to note that everything that the Yevonim legislated against gets representation naturally through Chanukah. So there's always a Shabbos Chanukah. Right? Sometimes there's two Shabbos Chanukahs. Yeah. Just about always, I don't remember an exception. Someone told me that sometimes it could not work out, but in my living memory, Shabbos Chanukah is always Parshas Mikates, without fail. All right, so therefore, if we're going to look for the connection, you know, between Shabbos and Chanukah, we should look in that Parsha, because that's always, you know, this year, no exception. Shabbos Chanukah is Parshas Mikates. I can't help but note, you know, something which I've never seen point out in any other sefer. Right, I think I'm the first to observe such a simple observation. Right, so Parshas Mikates opens up with Paro's dreams. Right, and interestingly enough, you know, so he talks about the seven. We have the bad seven cows. They look terrible, and you have the good seven cows, and you have the seven bad stalks. And you have the seven good stalks of wheat. So, interesting thing to point out is that the good ones are together. Right? The seven good cows, vatirena ba'achu, they're all grazing together. Unklas hay ba'achu, as in bachva, so they graze in brotherhood, seemingly. They are together. And also, the seva shibolim tovim olim bekone echad. Now, imagine what that looked like. Seven stalks coming out of the same stem.
Menorah.
Looks like a menorah. Right?
Rav Hirsch says it's a
Rav Shinnis. Oh, it's a Rav Shinnis. It must be the Yekesha connection. All right, there you go. Okay. Fine. I always thought it was Mount, right?
My grandfather always says Rav and Bian Mahatim also. These big, huge cows were consuming these tiny little.
Uh-huh. There you go. Right. But anyway, but you know, what I want to make an interesting note on is that the. You know, is that we find that the good ones are together. The seven good stalks, right, come out of the same stem, looking like a menorah. Right? The seven good cows are grazing together. Doesn't say that by the seven bad cows. The good ones are together. Reminding us about what? The menorah itself, that there was a halacha that they found very difficult to uphold. Miksha te'aseh, it had to be made out of one solid piece of gold. Right, that's so much so that they had to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, forget, I'm just throwing it, you know, just threw a piece of gold into the fire and the menorah just came out, you know, because they just couldn't figure out how to do it. Now, it shouldn't be made of parts. It has to be one solid piece of gold. All right, so we have this idea, the unity factor. The unity factor you only see by the good ones. All right. So the pasuk opens up, Ayim miketsh nasayim yamim. Right, and that's a very strange pasuk. It should say "Vayhi la'achar shnasayim yamim." And it came to pass. What does the word "kates" mean? Me kates. It's a very strange word to use.
Well, it means
right?
An arrow Besides, the end doesn't mean like an end.
Miketz means at the edge of, like tzavot. It is a very strange. I think over here it's really meant to be a noun, as we're going to show, not a verb or an adverb. It should have said la'achar shnasayim. Doesn't say it. It says miketz shnasayim yomim, at the edge. Ketz means a katze. Right. It is a very strange lashon to use. Right. So, by no doubt that the Medrash Rabbah was perturbed by this usage, and the Medrash Rabbah brings a pasuk. I believe it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Ketz sam lachoshech. Sam lachoshech. Ketz sam lachoshech. Kodesh Baruch Hu put an edge to the darkness. And on this, the Medrash says two drashot, but as a word, making the association miketz, right? The edge. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has put an edge to the darkness. And so the first shot is an amazing thing to think about. Right? This is what the Medrash says, this is the Lashon, something very interesting to think about. There was a limit to how long Yosef could be in the slammer. It's like there was a limit to how long that was possible, right? And then miketz, it reached the katzet. It just wasn't possible to keep him down anymore. It just naturally rose up.
Can we say that about all our tzaros in general?
Hopefully. You wish. Right? Anyway, think positive. Right? Anyway. And then the Medrash goes on to bring, to say it in the big picture. Kate Sum Lachoshech, right? There is a limit to how long the evil could run rampant in the world. Shita Al Feshnin. It's the 6,000 years. Very interesting. There's an edge on it. There was an edge on how long Yosef could be kept down in a slammer, and there's an edge on how long, bad things exist from here to here. There's edges, and once you cross that edge, you're out of it. All right. So now you already should feel an allusion to Shabbos based on what we just most recently learned in Derech Hashem. That we learned that the pattern of Shabbos follows the pattern of the macro. Just like there's 6 days of profane, chol, with all its challenges that drag us down. And then the seventh day is Kodesh. It's the same way in the big picture. 6,000 years of where we have to contend with all of challenges of life. Then in the seventh millennium, Chad Choruv, Kosh Hu shuts the whole thing down. It's game over. And then at the eighth millennium, Kosh Hu rebuilds the world. But this whole strife and struggle, it's just for 6,000 years. And that's what that puzzle is. Kate Sam Lachoshech, right? The edge that there is on the darkness is over these 6,000 years. Right. And then when you pass that edge, you're on the seventh, which is Shabbos. And that's what the word Shabbos literally means. It means to cease. It's over. Cease. Like, ach bayom arishon tashbitu sor mi batechem, as an example, also by the laws of Chol. On the first day, meaning Erev Pesach, tashbitu, all chametz should cease from your house. It's over. And Shabbos is a sense that, everything that's happened so far, it's over. It's behind us. You're elsewhere now. So, to understand this, all right, it's something very, something easier said than really truly understood. Every dimension is infinite. There's no, a one-dimensional creature could think he lives in an infinite reality. Right? Because it's one dimension, let's say he lives in width. You can continue the width Amen Fanayim that way, Amen Fanayim that way. And as far as he's concerned, he's living in a infinite reality. You know, the dimensions he's not aware of, he doesn't care about either. Right? Because doesn't see them. Right? So also, so much more so, if you live in three dimensions, and these three dimensions seemingly don't end anywhere. And, you know, as far as we can tell, seemingly, to the human, you know, human mind, human intelligence, you know, everything is the way it is and is the way it's going to be. In the words of Kuss, Masha Haya Hu Shiyiye. No end in sight. No end in sight. There's anyone think that there's a timer on the laws of nature that they're only going to be true for so long? Doesn't seem that way. It seems that what was true yesterday is the same tomorrow. So much so that people argue all the ups and downs are all cyclical. It's just, it's the way it is. Nothing is really ever changing. You know, it's just, some people think that something new happened in their lifetime. They just haven't lived long enough. You live, you know, study history, see, you know, always ups, downs. You know, some even claim it so much vis-a-vis climate change also. Every few centuries, a hotter century, close out, you know, you have to... Right, anyone thinks that things are changing, you know, just hasn't lived long enough to realize that we've been there already. You know, just the cycle's a little bit bigger than what you're aware of. Right? And, but it's really a question. You know, how do you get out? How do you get out of the box? And that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Noach, and that remains the halacha for the Bnei Noach, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. And said, oh, okay, may Kotzer, Kayez, Choros, Lo Yishbosu, Lo Yishbosu, right? It's going to be the four seasons, Lo Yishbosu, it's never, Lo Yishbosu, literally, never stops. And from there we learn out a halacha that, you know, Goyim, the Bnei Noach, Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa, Lo Yishbosu, never stop. Right? They take a vacation, you know, but they are, you know, they're, their work week never ceases. They could take time off and goof off. Right? No one's stopping anyone from goofing off. Right? There's no such thing as a special day that's different from the other days. And the way that the Torah expresses Lo Yishbosu, it never ceases. And, you know, you really would think. You really should think about this a little bit deeper. You know, why do we celebrate Shabbos on Saturday? Doesn't make sense, right? You know, because you if you want to mark an event, you either do it, you know, the anniversary of when you started, right, or the anniversary of when you finished, right? So either do it like the Christians and do it on Sunday because that's when it all started, creation, or do it like the Muslims and do it on Friday because that's where it all ended. Right? That was the Siyum. Make a Siyum on Maisa Bereishis. Right? Why keep Shabbos on Shabbos? It's not when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started, it's not when he finished.
Because it's a separate creation
altogether. Right. Yeah, but before we get there, right? Why is Shabbos called Matana Tova Yeshli Bebeit Genazai? Shabbos Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have a special gift in my treasure house, and it's called Shabbos. And I'm going to give it to Am Yisrael. What? It's Saturday, man. It's Saturday, right? Everyone has Saturday. Just he just dumped on us all this Isser Malacha. That's called a gift. Right? It's no different than saying Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot are a gift. Of course, who dumped on us all the halachas that we have to keep on those days. But no, it's Shabbos. Shabbos. It's in my base Genoza, in my treasure houses, you know, where I keep, you know, Genoza, Milashim Ganuz. Yeah, I have this hidden treasure. It's a hidden treasure. I'm giving it to Jewish people. What's hidden? It's Saturday. Just, you know, everyone's got Saturday. Just, we have the Isser Malacha that makes it Shabbos. They don't. So it's called the hidden treasure. What's the hidden treasure?
So is the Isser Malacha is what makes what Shabbos really is hidden to the rest of the world. Because that's all they can see.
So that's everything. That's all the restrictions that we have as Jews, you know, on anything. On anything. You know, we're also restricted during the week with kashrus and
true.
Anything. But no, Shabbos in particular, the hidden treasure. So the truth is like this. Amazing to contemplate. There is a way out of the box. There is, like we say, you know, seemingly the box is infinite, and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes it for the Bnei Noach, seemingly to the naked eye, is the way it is. It's kites v'harav, lo yishbosu. Four seasons just goes around and round. Life goes round and round, never stops. By no coincidence, no different than the fact that the whole universe is set up in circular motion. The Greeks actually made this observation, right? That's why nothing's ever going to change, because circular motion never changes. Right? Straight line motion, you're going to a destination. This is all going round and round. And that's why they understood, you know, that the world that we live in is infinite and it's not going anywhere. It's not going to change. Right? The laws of physics are never going to change. The world as it is the way it always will be. We just have to appreciate the beauty of what is, because it's all that there is, and nothing's ever going to change. Right? There is a way out. Right? There is a way out. Right? It's called the center. There's a center. Right? There you go.
The center of the cube.
All right. Where's the center?
Everything comes to the center, meets in the center. Right?
Yeah, so which side is the center on?
No side,
right? Because it would be on a side, it wouldn't be the center. Right? Center is where it all ends. Every side ends at this. Even infinite different, even if there's infinite dimensions to this world, and there may be, by the way. Now, Pi Kabbal is like many science is finally discovering that there's more than just three, because
right.
Space is curved, so there's like pockets of space, right? You know, believe me, you know, that which we read, you know, science finally realizing that, that which we say in Kabbal talks about infinite different worlds, it's all, no reason why it can't be true, right? But all these infinite different dimensions, as I say, there's more dimensions what we're aware of. Just like a one-dimensional being might not be aware of, you know, the other dimensions that, you know, he doesn't live in. And he doesn't care about them either, because as far as he's concerned, even his one dimension could be stretched infinitely in either direction. All right? The way out is the center. Right? All right? The center is nowhere. Nowhere and yet everywhere. Because the center, wherever it is, touches on every single dimension. Touches, but isn't in. Right? But connects everything. And we'll get back to that in a second. And from there, you get to the center, you're out of the box. Because the center is, you know, doesn't belong to any of the sides. That's the portal out. Okay, go find the center. Good luck. How are you going to find it? You know, the center is infinitesimally small, to the point that already the Greeks understood also, but they just thought it was a theory. Right? Mathematicians understand that the center doesn't exist in physical space. It can't. Because once you say it's, you know, it's 1 micron thick, all right, it's in space, right? So you divide up that micron, right side of it, the left side of it, the top of it, the bottom of it, the thickness of the ink, that, you know, that micron worth of ink. You know, you keep on dividing, and you'll never find the center.
The Shabbos is the center.
I don't know. Wherever I teach this, there's always someone in the crowd who says, why, Grand Central's very big? Someone always asks that, right? You're a better crowd. The, right.
But isn't Shabbos the center?
So we'll get there. No, not the Shabbos that you know.
Oh.
The Shabbos you know is Saturday.
Oh.
And you, I mean the proverbial you. You know, right. You know, but the center is, that's the way out of the box. Otherwise, the dimensions themselves go on om infinitum. Every single dimension goes on forever and ever and ever, lo yishbosu. So if their things are shavas, vayinofash, shavat, that, wherever that is, that's the center. Now go find it, doesn't exist in physical reality. Okay? Doesn't exist in physical reality. But if you could access the center, if there you will find Kedusha and Bracha. Right? Now, what does the word Kedusha mean? Separate. Right? Like, V'kidash temesar, sanctified mountain, don't go near the mountain. You know, Rashi, throughout Chumash, Kedusha means Kadosh. It's V'vdaltem, moved out, separate. Right? Because the center doesn't belong to any of the dimensions. It's separate. Right? It's removed from, it's out of the box. Right? But because there's something, you know that it, from the beyond, it's kadosh, it's beyond. That's why you could now bring in bracha. What does bracha mean? To have more. Right. How do you have more? You have what you have. There's a law of conservation of energy and matter that says, you know, matter can be neither created nor destroyed. You know, energy and matter, it's all the same stuff. You know, it's. You know, there are as many particles in the universe now as since Bria Sola. Nothing new has been created or destroyed. It's just been changing form, right? So what's bracha? You should have more, right? There is what there is. Right? So bracha must come from somewhere else and must be imported. That's because there is money. So where do you get more from? Must you have to import it from somewhere else. Through the center that belongs from Kedusha, you could come to Bracha. From something that's from the beyond, from there you could, if you could access it, you could import and bring in from the beyond. And it doesn't even have to get so complicated. Right? You could bring from the beyond, from the infinite, or you could even just import from the other dimensions also. Because since the center touches all dimensions, you could import even from, you know, have more just by virtue of the fact that the center touches all dimensions, you can import from somewhere else, let alone from God himself. And that's what we find by Shabbos. Right? Right? The point of Shabbos is it's out of the box. It's not part of creation. It's not part of creation. So that's what he said. You want to celebrate creation, celebrate either on Sunday or Friday. We're not celebrating creation. Shabbos is about getting beyond it. Because the gift of Shabbos is to remember that this whole world that God created comes to an end. Because if it wouldn't come to an end, you could forget about God. God becomes irrelevant. You know, you take the world and run away with it. Thanks, God. You know, I'm going to send you something, you know, Hanukkah time. Right? I just then, you know, you have to remember that the first cause, you know, he's still boss, and you still need him, right? It's not like, you know, everyone, all the Ovdei Avodah Zarah believed in the first cause, one infinite first cause. The Rambam writes that categorically. No, you know, no one was that stupid to think that the idol he just made, you know, a second ago, right, created heaven and earth. No, I mean, back then, no one was that stupid. I'm not, you know, right. Back then, no one ever believed that the idol that he worshipped or whatever he worshipped wasn't a creation in and of itself. Right? The first cause is irrelevant. The first cause that set all the, he created an infinite world, and now I do my business with whoever's closest to me. He's become irrelevant.
Right. They didn't believe in
monogamy.
I mean, not monogamy.
That's the point I'm trying to say. This, the Rambam writes this in the Mor Nevuchim. Avraham Avinu said you should only worship the first cause. Right? Philosophically, they knew there had to be a first cause. But that start point is irrelevant. He's all the way back on this totem pole that seemingly goes on forever. Right? And now you just deal with whoever's proximate to you. Avraham Avinu's chiddush was, no. You worship the first cause. Everyone believed it, understood there has to be a first cause, but he's irrelevant. Right? I mean, lahavdil, you know. She worshipped the Big Bang. was, you know. Our Avinu was the one that taught us, that taught humanity, you only worship the first cause. Right? No, we have to be reminded that Olam Hazeh is a creation, and the limits of that creation. Right? To fully appreciate that only the Creator is infinite, and therefore only the Creator is the true good that should be, you should cling to. But you got to get out of the box to see that. And Shabbos is that center. And that's what it means. Matana Tov Yeshi Beis Genozai. Right? I have a hidden treasure. Because, yeah, the center is hidden. Oh, it's sometime during Saturday. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, go find it. Right? It's not during Saturday. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the center that we feel the center the whole of Saturday. The whole of Saturday, right? Now, of course, go ahead, but it's a gift because it's not something that's accessible. It's not something that exists in physical reality. That's why it's called a gift from the hidden chambers. And that's the Vayivarach Elokim Es Yom HaShviyi Vayikadosh Oso. From there comes Kedusha and Bracha, right? Because it's from the beyond. It doesn't belong to Olam Hazeh. It is from the beyond. Right? And that's why it also is Shabbos is Makor HaBracha, source of blessing. Real blessing that you should have more, that has to come from somewhere else. That's got to come from the beyond. Because here there is as much as there is.
How does Hanukkah relate to all this?
I'll get to that in a second. We're going to get there. I won't leave it out. I won't leave it out. Promise. Right. We'll just have to explain first, you know, what the hang-up that the Yevonim had with Shabbos. Then we'll bring it to Hanukkah and we'll understand the relationship between the two. What are the Hanukkah candles versus the Shabbos candles?
Yes,
right? Yes.
Does Chag Yom Tov, which of course we're the ones that created the Kedusha of Yom Tov, does that also have that aspect of the center?
It's all because of Shabbos. If not for Shabbos, we couldn't do anything. Shabbos is the opening of the portal, and then once the portal's open, we could import other forms of Kedusha. Mm-hmm. But Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha for all the festivals. It is the source of Kedusha and Bracha. Okay. So here's an amazing thing to just... to get Hilchos Shabbos straight in our heads. You know, the Lamed Tes Melachos, which are all learnt out of the Mishkan. Right, the Beis HaMikdash. Right, you know, the Yevonim had a big hang-up with that. That was the whole thing. They defiled it. Right? And so there's a very intricate connection. You know, it's not just we had to learn out Hilchos Shabbos from somewhere. So we learnt out from the Mishkan. The two ideas are very, very integrally linked, Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why you find throughout the Chumash, they are always mentioned together. And Shabbosai Tishmo, Mikdashi Tiro, Ani Hashem, over and over again. Yeah, it's not just in one place in Chumash. Right? You'll find the two concepts always mentioned together. So here, let me point out something. All right, a big irony over here. We learn out everything that's usher to do from Binyan HaMikdash, right? Binyan HaMishkan, right? Right. And yet, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan itself, they do Melacha on Shabbos.
Right.
The sacrificial order goes on, like regular, nothing interrupted, meaning sacrificial order of the day. They kill animals. That was good to say. They kill animals, right, and they burn them, right? And, all the Avodas Hayom goes on uninterrupted. Wow. We learn out Shabbos from the Mishkan, and we don't keep Shabbos there. Right? Of course, whatever you have to do on the day, we don't keep Shabbos there. Right? So, an amazing thing, right? one of the things about the Makom HaMikdash, right? The Mishkan was an embassy of the Beis HaMikdash. It was never meant to be the permanent resting house. And that's what God said. It was always understood that the Mishkan, which has the same halachas of the Beis HaMikdash, was an embassy. And you know, the real resting place is, you know, was revealed in the days of David HaMelech, you know, and built by Shlomo subsequently, right? So now, what do we say about that place? There's the holy, and there's the holiest of holies, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Aside from the Aron that we put there, there's something that's naturally there since the 6 days of creation itself. Evan Ashtiyah, right? The foundation stone from which the whole world branched out from is there. And then it's during the Second Temple period where we didn't have the Aron and the Kruvim. So they did the Ketores, you know, when they went on Yom Kippur, and we're going to get back to it in a second, when they went in on Yom Kippur, they just put the Ketores by the Evan Shasiyah. Right? But think about this for a second. From that point, the Evan Shasiyah, the whole, all the cosmos branched out from there. It's point center.
Right.
Meaning within the Evan Shasiyah, some within it is point center. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash, like I said, it is a holy place. It's kadosh. It's not part of Olam Hazeh. The Mishkan was kadosh because it was an embassy. Oh, yo, the Kedushas HaMishkan, you know, is not linked to space. Wherever you tell me was once upon a time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in Shiloh, Gilgal, I could walk there and I could do whatever I want there. There's no real Kedushas HaMakom. When the Mishkan was, it was just like an embassy of the Beis HaMikdash. The real Kedushat HaMakom, that the ground is holy, that's only in the Beis Olamim, in the eternal, you know, the eternal house, you know, which is the Makom HaMikdash and Har HaMoriah. That place is innately holy. You know, it's not just because the Mishkan once stood there. It is innately holy, Adayom Hazeh, once we discovered it, once we revealed it. That's point center of the world. That place is not really a part of physical reality. Or rather, the Kedusha that is in that place is because it is emanating from the Evan Shasiyah, that point center. Which means, get this straight, as we're taught in physics, but the Sefer Yetzirah spoke about it already earlier, time and space run parallel. What Shabbos is in time, that's what the Beis HaMikdash is in space. Right? Shabbos is, you know, the center b'p'chinas zman, and the Beis HaMikdash is the center b'p'chinas mokum. The two are parallel ideas, and that's why we learn what's also to Shabbos from building the Mishkan, and but also Kedushas HaMishkan, Kedushas HaMikdash is a very parallel idea to Kedushas HaShabbos. So now here's the thing you got to get: what ceases on Shabbos? We say Shabbos is the grand shutdown. You get out of the box, and the whole world that you know shuts down on Shabbos. That means you're past it. You're over the edge, right? What shuts down is melachtecha, your profane work, your profession. And by the way, it's just another view, which Rashi basically says in Chumash, right? You say you have to view it kol melachtecha asuya. You have to realize that, you know, Shabbos is not the pshat. I wish I could do melacha. What are the Torah's, you know, tying my hands? Now that's what you say about pork. Yeah, I wish I could eat pork. Torah's tying my hands. Shabbos, you have to view it like the work doesn't exist now. You know, the work is, you know, my profession and all the chulin. That world has been shut down. As far as I'm past that. I'm outside of that world. And I'm in a world where that doesn't exist. That's why Chazal also, you know, to be mechazik, they said we shouldn't even talk about it on Shabbos. Don't talk about it. It shouldn't be on your mind. It doesn't exist where you are right now. It doesn't exist where you are. Right now, you're in a world that's all spiritual. It doesn't exist for you right now. So the world of Chulin shuts down, right? Kedusha never shut down. The Avodah that we do in the Beis HaMikdash is Kachim. It's Kedusha. What shut down is Chulin, right? What shut down is Chol. The Avodah is Kodesh. Yeah, that keeps on functioning. the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitza, you know, we know that a person himself should try to make himself a walking Beis HaMikdash. We might have mentioned this concept before, that there's parallels between the human form and the form of the Beis HaMikdash. All the Rishonim point this out, like the Luchos, or like the heart, and the Kruvim, or like the lungs on top of the heart, etc., etc., is in the Zohar, but it's already in the Rishonim, that there's a... Because the original plan was every person, the divine presence should rest on the individual. It should have been v'shachanti betocham, literally, not betocho, right? Because of cheta ego, unfortunately, it was limited and constrained to a particular point in space. And the way it will be in the future, that even though we'll do avodah on the Beis HaMikdash, but the Shechina will be everywhere, right? You know, Meher Rabbi Yamenu, when we purify the space. Right, so the person was supposed to ideally be also, you know, a walking sanctuary. That's why you should keep your mind clean, right? Keep your whole self clean. All right, so now here's an amazing thing that the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitza points out. So, you know, it really should been eat. It really should be usur to eat on Shabbos. Why? You do tochen with your teeth. You do bishul in your stomach. Your excretory system does borer. Right? Yeah, don't think about it. You know, why is it? It's only usur to grind up the apple outside of the mouth. You could do it inside the mouth. Derech achila, it's not usur midrash. You could don't have to do it with a shinui. You could chew regularly, right? Our natural body functions do malacha, you know, plenty. Right. Not also. Because, you know, what we're supposed to do, especially if we're eating the covered Shabbos, you know, because it's the mitzvah of the day, and that's why you should eat. All right, so it's all, you know, you're supposed to be holy. It's supposed to be now what's happening in holy space. What's come to, what has been ceased, is what's profane. What you're eating the covered Shabbos is holy. Just like the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah Beis HaMikdash is holy. What has ceased and shut down is what's chol. The profane has shut down. Shut down for us. You know, the goyim never get out of the box. Right? So here's an amazing thing. And now we're going to start bringing it tighter to Hanukkah. Right? There's a lashon in Chazal that made its way into the Ma'os Tzur. Right, that, you know, the Mishnah says in Maseches Midos, which talks about the dimension of Har HaBayis, there used to be a fence around Har HaBayis called the Sorag, and the Yevonim broke in Yud Gimel Pritzos, 13 Gematria Echad. I'm going to get back to that. 13 breaches. Right. They breached it in 13 places. And Chazal instituted that when they repair, after the Chashmonaim drove them out and they repaired those breaches, every time you stand in front of one of those breaches, you have to bow down. You stand one front, you bow. Right? One of those, because they made 13 breaches. Right? And this made its way into the Mosur. Ufartsu Chomos Migdai. They bust in. They bust the... Chomos Migdolai, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, you know. They burst in. Interesting, right? Break-in entry, right? And now the Rambam uses that same lashon to describe the error of the philosophers, thinking that God is bound by the laws of logic. You know, they start analyzing God with the laws of logic and decide what God can do and what he can't do, what he could know, what he can't know. When the Rambam points out, he calls them hitpartsuta filosof God, how they broke forth towards God. It's very severe. They didn't realize, and what's the point that Rambam makes, and we'll see that, you know, what was going on here. Right? They didn't realize that the world that they know is only true from here to here. There's an edge on it. Now, this is something which we've been privileged in the scientific world to finally discover, if they would only interpret the data, you know, that way, right? That we see that, you know, the laws of classical physics and classical geometry are only true and only make sense, you know, on mid-size objects, right? Right? We get to the very, very small and the very, very large, it all breaks down. And they had to invent quantum physics to try to explain, which they're still guessing, you know, explain that it seems that there's like an edge. It's only true from here to here. Look, if you don't think too deeply, you know, you could get by on Newton just fine. You know, you don't need Einstein. Really, you don't, you know, you have to get through the day. You know, you get fine just with Euclid and Newton, right? You don't need more than that, right?
That's why the Chatumim didn't have any Shmita and something smaller than a...
Yeah, but okay. Well,
isn't the same concept?
No, that's a little bit different. Okay. But we're getting to the ultra small. You know, science is beginning to discover that what you thought all made sense is only true from here to here. Mm-hmm. There's edges on it. But of course, that's a very modern, you know, conclusion relative. It's something 100 years ago, you know, that they started realizing it's not so simple. They thought they had it all figured out. With Euclid and Newton, you have a Torah Shlema, you know, everything made sense. So they started discovering that when you start being very, very exacting in your measurements to the very small or big, big, very heavy, dense bodies, it breaks down. They're realizing the edges of science, the kotze, the miketz. But the Greeks didn't think that way. Anyone who knows any Greek, right, philosophy, they thought that, you know, the laws of nature and also what logic dictates is infinite, has no end. Right? No end, and even God himself, you know, with logic we could determine what God can do and can't do, could know and can't know, like they do. Like I said, you know, he can't know the details for reasons they said, and the Bria has to be, you know, by force and not by choice. Logical arguments. Right? As the Rambam points out, they didn't realize that, you know, there's an edge to, with, you know, whatever you might say, yeah, well, these measurements are true from here to here. God, who's beyond it all, those measurements don't apply to him. So now, until very recently, that was an issue of faith, that we believe that it's all just true from here to here. Right, Baruch Hashem, science, you know, the problem is they don't admit that that's what they're really confronting. They're confronting the edges of what humanity could encompass and make Seder out of. And it's all just true from here to here. Right? And that's what the Beis HaMikdash represents. What Shabbos represented in time is what the Beis HaMikdash represents in space. Right, this whole world that you think you have all figured out, it's only true up to here. Up to here. Here it ends. This is the katze. This is the miketz. This is where it comes to an end. And the Greeks couldn't suffer that. So they abolished Shabbos and they defiled the Beis HaMikdash. And their act of defiling the Beis HaMikdash is called pritza, break in entry, because they went to where they don't belong. Because just like Goyish Shabbos Chayav Misa, they broke in because that point doesn't belong to their world. It belongs to the realm of Kedusha. It's all called break-in entry, trespassing. And they're trying to make a statement. Trying to make a statement that what we have figured out applies everywhere. There are no exceptions. And we say it's all true up to here. Right? In time, true up to Shabbos. Right? In the big picture, it's all just true for 6,000 years. Come the seventh millennium, it's all over. Right? And in space, all true up to the Beis HaMikdash, the realm of Kedusha. And there it ends. That's why in Beis HaMikdash, there are constantly miracles happening. Right? So now here's the amazing thing. Where this is strictly true, you know, in the most literal sense, is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like we said. Right? Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, an amazing thing is you'll find in Chazal, Kishenichnesu Yevonim LaHeichal, when the Yevonim entered the Heichal, which is before the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It just never makes reference that they made it to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Strange thing. As if it was invisible to them. Because the Kodesh HaKadosh, which is Mamish point center, the Evan Shasiya, you know, Mamish point center of the universe, right? Invisible to them. They went into the Heichal. And they defiled all the oil that they found, except one. And Munach Bechotamol Shel Kohen Gadol. Right? It was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. What does that represent?
He's the only one that goes in the Kodesh.
Exactly. It was sealed with the Kohen Gadol. He's the one who walks into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And that's why they didn't find it. Right? But Mar say that they're oblivious to. They can't see it. They thought they know everything. And yet, so they overcame the Heichal. They weren't able to reach the Kodesh HaKadosh. And that's why also this jug that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol was, they didn't find it. It's a miracle. Just beyond their vision. Right? They thought they had over to try and make a statement. What we say is true, and they burst in all the way. Right? So listen to what the Maharal says. And it's all in the Ner Mitzvah of the Maharal. You know, I'm just putting it together my way.
Where is it from?
Oh, what I'm about to say is from the Ner Mitzvah of the Maharal. Yes. Ner Mitzvah. So take the gematria of Heichal is 65. Heichal, 65. Right, the gematria of Yavan is 66, right? And it, which you know represents that's how they were able to conquer the Heichal, and that's where the menorah is, and that's where the the mizbeach, the shulchan, and it did damage there, and they defiled all the oil that they found there, right? But says the Maharal something very interesting. You know, Heichal. Could, you know, if you would spell it phonetically, you would add a yud. Because of the tsere, the two dots, hey, if you wanted to spell it phonetically, the way it's pronounced, you would add another yud. Because the way it's spelled, if not for the fact that you're mentally aware of the nikud, you would call it hichal. Right? You'll go, heichal. Right? You want to spell it out phonetically, you would add a yud. Right? And that would be an extra 10. Right? Gematria 75. Same gematria as Kohen. And that's why the Chashmonaim were Kohanim, drove them out. But what's his point, says the Maharal? Because the Heichal has a hidden Kedush to it. There's its revealed Kedusha, which is gematria 65, like the way the word appears in the parchment. Hey, Yud Chaf Lamed, 65. So Yavarma 66, they could overcome it. Right? But Mitzad, its hidden Kedusha, Mitzad, how it's pronounced phonetically, and that hidden Kedusha, says the Maharal, comes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How the Kodesh HaKadoshim permeates. The Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim secretly permeates the Heichal. And that's what it means, that in the Heichal, there was a Pach Shemen Munach B'chosama Shel Kohen Gadol that they couldn't see, they couldn't find, because the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim secretly permeates the Heichal. And that was the aspect of the Heichal that the Kohanim bring out. That's why Kohen, Heichal, with that extra yud, is gematria 75, same gematria as Kohen, and that's why the Chashmonaim, or Kohanim, were able to awaken the hidden Kedusha of the Heichal. And the way the Maharal explains it, you shouldn't view it that it was conquered back. You should view it that they were ejected from the Heichal. When you awaken the hidden Kedusha of the Heichal, they just can't stand there anymore. They can't be there anymore. It was the koach of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was awakened, and you know was awakened through the Chashmonaim, and that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. You know that, and that oil of the Nes Chanukah, Nisim come from the beyond, not from the Olam of Teva. It shows that we are connected to the beyond. Where you know the Kodesh HaKadosh, even though it's off limits, right? It's off limits, but we're connected to it, and we draw power from it, even in the Heichal, which means we draw power from it. Even, you know, in our regular day-to-day lives, we draw strength from it. You know what? Like we draw strength from Shabbos for the whole week. Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha for the whole week. We draw strength from Shabbos, and we're supposed to remind ourselves, Hayom Yom Rishon for Shabbos. Yom Rishon, always keep connected to Shabbos. Draw strength from it. There should be a little bit of Kedusha and Bracha in everything we do, day in, day out. Same thing. They drew from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's what the Pasuk says. Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. With this, Aaron can walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Bezos, one of the many Lashonos in Chazal. On what's Bezos? Bezos Bezchus HaShabbos. That's right. That's the whole point. Ner Chanukah says that we're still secretly drawing power from there. That's what Ner Chanukah is about. We're secretly drawing power from there. Afil bizman hazeh, even in the Golos. That's to draw strength from there, and that's why it's so important. Pirsumei Nisa, right? Publicize this miracle. Bring the power of miracles, which is from the beyond, into the world of nature. And so that's why it's a Rambam, second to last halacha, second to last halacha, because Chanukah, it's very important. Even sell the shirt on your back to buy Chanukah candles, right? Because of Pirsumei Nisa. Why is it so important? It's not just PR. It's to import from the realm of miracles into the world of nature. And that's what it is. When they rebuilt those breaches, they instituted bowing down. Why? What does bowing down represent? The line does not go forward. The line doubles over on itself. You thought you could go straight? No, no, no. That's the edge, baby. And that's where it all just curls over on itself. That's what it means. They instituted, you bow down by when you stand neged those breaches. They will make a statement that it goes all the way in. They're saying, no, no, it curves over on itself. It doesn't go in.
Like the edge of space.
Like the edge of space. That's why we say space is curved. Just curves in on itself. Curves in on itself. Right, but another thing that the Greeks had many gods, right? In their world, there is no unifying factor in that center. When you reveal the center, so not only do you get Kedusha and Bracha, you also find their Achdus. And with this, will second to last point, right? And we'll bring it all back to Shabbos again. You find Achdus, the center, the unifying center, right? Our whole week is like one solid slab. Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Yom Sheni b'Shabbos. All units leading up to Shabbos, all connected. There are days of the week. Sunday, the sun, the day of the sun. Monday, the day of the moon. Each one for a different god. Totally unconnected. Because what is Achdus? Achdus is not something physical. It's something spiritual. Unity. When you have a brick, you know, a unified brick, you put it on a scale, and then you pulverize it. You put all the dust on the scale away exactly the same. Right? Unity is not something physical. It's not something that has mass. It's a spiritual thing. It's siphoned off from God's unity. And that's why then, Bayomahu Yashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when it's going to be world peace. The two go together. Right? The vision for the future day will be world peace. Everyone will be ba'achdus. Love the Shechem Echad is when the unity of God is revealed. Because unity is a divine koach. Right? And we spoke about this on Tisha B'Av. It's a mystery to the scientists what's holding the world together. What's holding... So you didn't talk about dark matter. Because they don't know what's holding everything together. The world should just rip itself apart. All the forces should just pull in their own direction or neutralize each other. What's holding the world together remains a mystery. Now we know Shabbos is holding the world together. Shabbos makes shalom. And that's why it's not just an Israeli thing. It's a Sfaradim for years and years. For generations said Shabbat shalom. The concept is, you know, there are even prayers built around that phrase. Shabbos is what makes shalom in the whole world. That Oseh Shalom Bimromav, that's all Mikoch the Shabbos. And that's when the Beis Mishra will be rebuilt, there'll be world peace. Right? In the Greek world, there is no such thing as unity. That's why they were a polytheistic society. So there's originally one first cause, but then splintered into all the different gods. Can I get all the different forces? And that's why, in Parshas Miketz, we pointed out, the good ones are together. The seven good stalks grow out of the same stem. The seven good cows graze together. The good are together. Right? As we say in Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, Yit Pardu Kol Pa'alei Aved. The evildoers are Bepirud. They are not together. In evil, there's no togetherness. In politics, people are just friends up to the elections. Right? 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 You know, it's no real achdus. Real achdus is a spiritual thing. That's why Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. It's a spiritual thing. Right? So in the, so that's, and that's Yevonim broken 13 breaches. Gematria Echad. This Yichud business is baloney. That's what they were saying. There's no achdus. There's no such thing. You know, there are seven distinct forces in reality. They had it all worked out in sevens, right? It's a big natural number from the Greek days already. You know, it's seven distinct forces. What, by our menorah, which is, as it were, revealing the light, the hidden light of the Kosh Kroshim, our menorah of seven branches was made miksha achas, solid piece of gold. And the unity is the kedusha that permeates the seven natural. And I was expressed by an order, the seven branches had to be mikshachas, made of one solid piece of gold.
Why do we bow to it?
What?
Why do we have to bow to it?
Yeah.
The 13 points that they've reached.
That's right. And they'll make a statement against Yehud. It's actually, it has an earlier precursor that when they translate the Torah into Greek for Talmi Amelch, the Greek Egyptian king, they had to change 13 things. It's not much parallel. They had to change 13 things for him. You know, whatever. So, you know, so with Kedusha, you have, you know, you've discovered the edge of the physical world. You get past it. Get past it to the great beyond, where none of this is true anymore. None of this applies anymore. You get reached the edge, you get, you know, the Shabbos, the Mokam HaMikdash, you get Kedusha, you get Bracha, you get Achdus. All these things are missing from their world. And that's what's so important about Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles should be Shum Shalom Bayis. That's the Rambam says. As much as Ner Chanukah is so important to import the light of miracles to the world of nature, but Shabbos is even higher. Because Shabbos, you're out of nature totally. And you're in a world that's pure Shalom. Right? Pirsumei Nisa indicates that there's still strife. I have to convince you. I have to show you. I have to stick the message in your face. There's still strife in the world of Pirsumei Nisa. There's some people that just don't get it yet. I got to teach them. And that's what the Ner Chanukah does. It's to import to the profane world. Right? You know, the idea, the world of nature, the light of miracles, import it. And we have to try to publicize it, make it known, get the message across. Achetichla regel menashuk, to the marketplace. This whole market and career business thing. That's halacha. Achetichla regel menashuk. The person is to the workplace, to the marketplace. This career business, it's, you know, people made their whole lives, right? It's only true for 6,000 years, the whole business, right? That's the message we have to bring in. It's only because of Chet Adam Rishon, because that's a pecha toch alechem. The whole thing is only true temporarily. You got to bring that message in. Shabbos, you're past all that. You're in a world of pure shalom. There's no more opposition anymore. There's no us and them anymore that you have to get a message across. There's a pure achdus. You're in the realm of pure Shabbos Kodesh. And there has to be shalom, and particularly between Ish v'Isha. Right? Because that's the, you know, the zivug between man and woman represents the zivug between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. Between the Kedusha and the profane world, that's not Nes versus Teva anymore. Everything is together, and that's what Ram says, that's the whole tachlis of Torah, to bring us to that day, and to that point, everything is b'shalom, and that's what the Ner Shabbos represents, and that's how Ram says, you know, Chanukah is the battle between Nes and Teva, it's the battle, it's the strife, Shabbos is past the strife, that world has been closed down, you're past that already. And that's what the Ner Shabbos represent. And that's why Ner Shabbos of Shalom Bayis. We're past the edge. We're in the world of everything is already at peace and reconciled. And that's why Ner Shabbos is more important than Ner Chanukah. Okay, Alech Chanukah, everybody. So let me know when. So next week, not Matzah.